Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Ryan.
This is Jeremy. Once again.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best day of Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for the month of January 2018.
For the year of January.
January is still a month. But oh, the year
not,
of...
Not if you break it up right.
Not in Trump's America.
Oh, no. Yes. Or every month feels like a year.
Oh, God. No one has said help. How come no one is helping? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, it's a Pokemon show. I guess technically speaking, because we're going to talk about a little bit of, you know, Pokemon, but...
I have not been playing my Ultra Moon, so I got nothing to say.
I mean...
I've been playing Blue and Red.
Oh, yeah? That'd be good. I started up a Gen 4 run. I didn't get very far, but, you know, that's a thing.
Oh, two badges. Just telling yourself short over there.
Yeah, two badges. Whole, like, 8 hours. Yeah, it was real... It's a real marathon.
You invested enough to give them nicknames?
I did, yes, because I'm, you know, I feel like...
You're running with fan favorites, like Boozeal.
Actually, I want to, we might as well start. I want to actually use a Finneon, who evolves into a Luminion, because I've never used it before. And it's probably not great, but, you know, when we do these retro, I guess sort of retro run-throughs of past generations, I like to... use Pokemon that belong to that generation. So yeah, I did take a Chimchar because fire types are scarce. It's just Chimchar and Ponyta in this version until you expand to the national decks. Excuse me, 6 hours as I boot up my file here. And of course, I took a Shinx because...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, really great electric type. I'm running with the starting bird, Starly, right now. Probably won't stick around. And I do have a... Boozeal.
Yeah.
Who, again, just kind of playing a water type for now.
Got your little HM workhorse there.
Yeah, got to Blanche the Bidoof.
Yeah, got your Bidoof.
And I also have a Bunnery for now. Well, I doubt.
I think it's Lopunny?
Lopunny, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Bunnery shows up in Ultra Moon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's probably why I picked one up, because I think you mentioned it on the previous show.
Yep.
So that it shows up. Mm-hmm. I think it's a friendly evolution, though, so right now it's just kind of hanging out in the back until I find, like, a soothe bell or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to stick around and who's not. I don't know exactly how far I'm going to get in this particular run, because I had that run of Gold Silver going, which I beat the 8th gym, and then I just kind of stopped playing.
Yeah.
Because I realized, hey, all of my guys are, like, at level 30 to 35, and the Elite Four is going to be... close to level 50. And I don't want to grind.
Just didn't want to do any grinding there.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing that I like about this Gen 4 run is it, in some ways, reminds me a lot of Gen 2 in that the routes are short, and then when you get to the towns, it always gives you something to do there. Like, the first town, there's this mine that you can go down into and fight some trainers down there and then have the boss fight. And then there are a couple of little events where you fight the... Team Plasma antagonist of the game. So, you know, it gives you, like, this little window dressing as opposed to these big, long routes where you're just kind of grinding through grass the whole time.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking forward to all the HMs. That's going to be unfortunate to have to carry someone who's got a defog for the one route that you
use.
What,
eight of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Eight HMs?
Yeah.
You get your rock climb and your...
The thing is, I think Flash is necessary... to explore one particular area, but it's not a...
It's not necessary, yeah.
Well, yeah. It is a move that you will want to have a Pokemon if you want to fully explore the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not... It's a TM, so it's consumable in this generation. And I think there's a place where you can buy more. It's kind of annoying that you might come into a situation where you enter this cave that you want to explore, you need Flash, you've already burned on a different Pokemon that's not with you. Anyway, it's... probably better than having 9 HMs. But I think Flash stopped being an HM, what, in Gen 2?
I think it just needs to be like an item. Like a bicycle.
No.
Walk around with a flashlight.
So exactly. I want to just fucking flashlight.
Right. I like the
we
way...
We have root flares now, everybody.
We have motorcycles. We have bikes and we got fairies.
Like, he's got a glow stick walking around.
Why not? Who gives a shit?
You can attach it to your bike, a little like headlamp.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's great.
I do like how they handle that sort of thing in some note. How... you essentially get, like, these Pokemon rides that you can just call them whenever you fucking feel like it. But I would like to...
You look such a dork, though, man. That outfit they put you in. Oh, it's so dumb.
Oh, no, but the Machamp one. The Machamp one is so good. Because he's carrying in his arms like you're a baby.
I'm okay with that.
That's how I play the game. I'm just always riding Machamp carry you at every opportunity. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that feed into my OCD, so it's probably good that they're not there. But, like, growing berries in Gen 4, you have to find, like, those certain patches of soil that are scattered around. So you can never just have a big berry farm going. You have to, like, plot your route every day so you can go and harvest these things.
That's what you used to do in Silver. Remember you doing that?
Yeah, but when I was 13, I had so much time on my hands.
Like, I wasn't doing anything. That was fucking infuriating. Mm. All of that time-based stuff that they implemented, which really just did nothing but make you have to go back and play the game at random points when you're like, it's like you're not playing the game because like, oh, I want to play the game. It's like, okay, it's a morning and it's a Tuesday. So, I gotta wake up early
so I can go talk to this guy so he can give me a poison barb
so I can play this thing that's supposed to be fun. Yeah, it's like, oh, come on,
you have a planner just for your Pokemon.
You did.
I do.
But yeah, actually, that's gonna be an interesting thing to talk about is all the apps that they give you. How prepared for the future they were. It's all about the crucial apps you need on your Pokemon gear.
Yeah, you have like this tech watch, and it's got like basic stuff to start out with, like a clock and a calculator for some goddamn reason.
There's one you can get for steps. That's actually useful for steps.
That is the most useful one of the game. It's just your step counter.
Yeah.
Because when you're hatching eggs, it's just good to.
Isn't there one that tells you the friendliness of your Pokemon?
There is a
just put on the latex glove and let's find out how this guy is.
Yes, there. I think there is one that will judge friendliness. Oh, that's also where you like your item finders as well, your little dousing. But it's not
like you
super
beat this
useful.
Thing within an inch of its life, and then you captured it in a ball, and this is the first time it's been released. It hates you.
but you use a friendship ball, so it should be fine.
It's like this like frail little scared Rattata. It's like, oh my god!
You're the guy who put me to sleep and beat the shit out of me.
I was already asleep, and then you hit me 10 times.
I was knowing you were in my nest in the grass, and you came along.
I have a family. They're going to wonder where I am. I'm the one that gathers the food.
Can you tell me what my children look like now? Have they grown or they evolved? You come along with your fucking Chimchar and...
Oh, that's dark. I'm sorry.
That one places.
I'm sure in your version of this game you think you're a good guy. Even if you're not.
You got to be the very best.
Yeah.
And that involves going up and...
Guy. Just go out and start... beating up people.
And being the best involves going around and beating up the dad of a Bidoof family. So, alright, but I think that's all I got to say about Gen 4 at this point. We'll see if this keeps going.
Jeremy, do you have any thoughts on your red and blue run?
How are you playing it?
Yeah, how are you playing this? You don't have a play game.
No, right? I have a... For my brother-in-law's wedding, he gave Natalie a Game Boy with...
Oh, yeah. He just found, like, one at the garage sale or something?
He found one at a
real thoughtful gift.
Oh, no.
Like, here's the...
No, because they all used to play... Like, he had blue, Marty, his brother had red, and Natalie had yellow. It's actually yellow that I've been playing.
Mm.
So...
Cool.
You know. Get all the starters there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not very far. So. But it also... Did you guys see that? You can use cut on... grass.
Oh, yeah. Just random patches of grass, not like the actual trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can...
I didn't know that until like 3 weeks ago.
It's a really roundabout way of avoiding encounters.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You can sit there for an hour and through one little patch of grass.
Right.
So.
Like, you cut, take 4 steps, cut again, take 4 steps, open up the menu each time.
Yeah, they really didn't think that one through. And unless there's maybe some place where it's good to like get collect
steps. Do
they
ever tell you that you can do that?
No. Not that it's ever explicit.
It'd be cool, like, they did something like that with, like, in Soul Silver and Heart Gold, you have the Pokemon following around. Maybe if you use an Asia and, like, cut, it goes in front of you and just clears
it's
the
like
grass out.
Scyther,
like,
just
walking.
Cut the path for
you. Yeah, just, you know, you're a lawnmower now, go.
I mean, or you could just play a modern game and buy a Repel and they can just prompt you to use more when it's used up.
It's good. Could, yeah.
I think the system they have now works pretty well.
Yeah, they've intentionally made money, like, kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
Where you can farm money if you want it. Like, I know in the GameStop guy, I got millions and millions of dollars that I'll never need. But say for the fact that I can stack 99 unless you just want like super spells or whatever.
Ton of premier balls and just have to buy Pokeballs and increments.
You can buy a bunch of like zinc and stuff like that and just boost the crap out of your Pokemon.
Sure. That's another good use. Just use the Pokemon Pelago to work your EVs.
No, but even in like X and Y, like you guys know how much I played that. I played it so much where I literally had like stacks of 99 proteins and irons and
60 Togekiss.
Well, like, you can only use 10 like per stat per Pokemon.
Right.
And that does not fully max it out. That gets you like a third of the way there maybe. Mm. So you actually do have to do a ton of actual EV grinding on top of that.
You gotta like do those mini games or actually grind against other Pokemon.
Yeah, or just find ones that pay out really well. Like I know there's certain Pokemon that pay out. Like where it's like if you just sit there and farm on certain things in the game, you don't realize it, but you just immediately like maxed out something special defense.
Yeah, like I think Sea Kang I think is one of those ones that like will give you really nice EV points in attack or something like that.
But even then it's like still I think it's like 255.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird video game math numbers, but it's like 255 gets you fully maxed out, and then I think the most anything ever gives you is 3.
It is so that's really weird.
Still a ton of fighting you gotta do.
It is a really weird. It's
almost 100 fights.
Video game number 255. Because, like, the original Legend of Zelda, your max rupees is like 255.
Isn't it one less than a square?
Yeah, I think, like, some like a root of 8. Like, 256 is a root, or 8 is a root of.
Yeah.
So, it had something to do with that. I don't know. I'm not a computer scientist.
Nor am I.
I just know that making video games is easy.
Yeah, it's so easy. Like it's
it should
so
never take more
easy.
Than
everybody
minutes.
Can do it.
Yeah, anybody can, and everybody should. Get to work, you'll make millions.
So, do you have anything else with Yellow?
Oh, what are you playing? Like, who do you have?
Who
so
do you
far
start with?
Well, I've just gotten to Lieutenant Sarge.
Surge,
yeah, that's right.
Lieutenant Sarge. He's got two ranks.
He's a captain.
That's great.
I'm Corporal Major.
Yes.
Or that his town, whatever it's called.
Vermilion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got you're doing pretty well there. So you probably already have a Charmander. You have the Charmander.
Yeah, I'm about to get Squirtle in this.
I think Squirtle.
Yeah.
I think it shows up
which
in that town.
I'm excited for it. Squirtle was my favorite originally.
Cool.
And then picked up the standard bug thing I have.
Caterpie,
Butterfree.
Yeah. So
got a flying in there. Got a Pidgeotto.
Yeah.
Got the standard Ash Ketchum
stuff.
Team going.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm hoping to pick up a Drowsy. In that area, next to...
Right next to the tunnel there on the right.
Playing with the Hypno in our Gen 2 run. Mm. And it was really fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I think I did get the Abra in north of Cerulean.
So,
yeah. But I think I want to do Hypno.
Would suggest...
Because I had no one to trade with.
Sure.
So
you never get that Alakazam.
Nope. Which is sad.
But it's not, you know.
Pikachu's happy. Follow me around.
Yeah. That guy.
I haven't put him away yet.
Did you evolve him? You gotta evolve him.
I will.
Okay.
And that way he doesn't follow you anymore.
Get back in there, Raichu. You can't be out.
Yeah, what a letdown. Like, Raichu should simply unexist. I think that they really need to do this Pikachu thing again.
They need to, like, rework the evolutionary branching here and, like, have something before Pichu. That way,
considering how, like, I mean, every other, like, really famous Pokemon, like, that people seem to love, it's usually, like, a fully evolved thing. It's like people love their Charizards or whatever.
Sure.
But it's like, who even gives a thought to Raichu even existing, even though it's, like, the franchise Pokemon?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like. Like War Turtle being like the franchise Pokemon because it's just
it's like the
middle
loves
tier.
Everyone a Squirtle and a Blastoise, but
yeah.
Who gives a fuck about Ivysaur?
Right. That is so unprofessional.
That is the Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny.
Oh yeah, Marcel and I played Pokemon Snap back in September.
I actually just got an N64 cartridge for it.
Oh nice.
I went to the Cybertron and
he's unusually good at Pokemon Snap.
Well, you know, it's all about like memorizing the interactions, right? Yeah. Like if I do this and this will happen, and if I take this guy's picture, then
I didn't realize you had to replay the levels once you like.
You go through them multiple times. Like once you get the apples and you go back to the beach, you can lead Pikachu over to a surfboard and he'll hop on the board and kind of surf on it. Little things like that.
I just remember when I was younger, I would go to a Blockbuster that we would rent movies at.
Yeah.
And they had
something only old people say.
Yeah. They had a thing there set up for people that wanted to play Pokemon Snap or whatever.
Oh,
and
sure.
I would sit there and play it. I was like, oh, man, this is kind of fun. So now I get to play that in earnest. Yeah, I got that and, what were the other two games I got? Gauntlet.
Oh, nice.
I got N64 Gauntlet. I have no idea even when that came out, but I'm looking forward to playing that. And then a third game. I don't remember what it was, but
okay.
Hey, I sure got it.
We'll have to take a look at the release schedule, see what's coming up on the shows next.
Mm-hmm. You should definitely let us know when Perfect Dark is coming up. Because
they had multiple cartridges
for it. We actually were talking about this in the car, Jeff and I and Natalie on the way to the movie today.
Yeah.
About Perfect Dark and how we fucking beat you in that Farsight.
Oh man, I'm so good at that.
Jerry in that motherfucking Farsight.
I had all the levels memorized.
We'll take this tangent. Wasn't like your favorite thing to do to like play that one level where you just go into like the little attic or like little cubby that
with a has laptop one gun?
Yeah, you put your sentry gun right in the stairs and just sit with your sniper rifle.
Yeah,
fucking cheapest.
Oh, it was a laptop gun. That's what it was.
Yeah,
was
I don't.
That,
yeah,
wasn't that what it was?
Place
called?
My laptop gun with the secondary mode. Yeah, this is my little sentry.
Fuck, I hate you. Real players play slappers only. Like.
Classic. That's also classic.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Ryan, Pokemon Go. Anything going on there?
Yeah, there was a big winter event that I think we're kind of still technically in the
middle
of. Which, by the way, everyone should be aware of if you've survived the last 2 days. It's fucking cold.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's timely that there's a winter event. Yeah, they've introduced a bunch of Gen 3 stuff. It's reminded me of just how fucking good Gen 3 is as far as the Pokedex. There's so many amazing Pokemon in it. Yeah, no, for real. Like. Yeah. I mean, you got things like what Gardevoir,
Luxray,
Aggron.
Luxray is Gen 4.
Damn. All right. Manectric.
Yeah, Manectric's in it, but I wouldn't say he's that great.
Either. I like him. Breloom.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Shiftry and Breloom, they're pretty cool. Yeah, like even the junk is still kind of cool, which is nice about. I mean, like. Since it is a winter event, I'm seeing a ton of Spheals all over the place.
Okay, cool.
Woolrain requires a lot of candies, so it's good to see that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of as far as they've gotten, too. Like, one of my all-time favorites, Absol, is in this gen. And I've seen people rolling around with those, which is pretty sweet. I don't know, there's this guy Salamance. Some people think he's all right. So,
yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he's a thing.
Yeah, he's one of the top five dragons.
Yeah.
I think the deal is you and I different. Like, I had him as number one. You had Dragonite. No, I had Dragonite. You had Salamence.
Oh, okay. We'll revisit those rankings one day.
But Garchomp is obviously the best dragon. So.
Garchomp is very, very good. Yes.
Garchomp's really good. And he has a Mega Evolution.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
But yeah, play it. There's all kinds of crazy stuff happening. So, you know, check it out. Again, I don't think anyone's going to be won over now on Pokemon Go. I think
that's a good jumping in point.
I mean, there's still a ton of, like, really loyal. I hop on Discord all the time. There's people that are out there in packs. Like, I know the last time I did a couple of the raid battles, like, there was a couple people there, and, like, one of them was like, oh, man, this is my 12th attempt at Oho. And I was like, oh, my God, jeez. You have that much time. To literally, and that's what they'll do, is, like, you'll get a group of people. It's like you're playing a game online with a bunch of people that need to redo runs over and over again, and you just find people that are like, I'll do it with you, so where are we going next? And we're like, it's like, well, there's another gym battle that's, you know, less than a mile away. We can all meet up there and do it then. And they're like, yeah, it's like, all right, fair enough. So you end up just pairing up people and
To do it, like, you think, like, after 8 times, you're like, oh my God, fuck it, never mind.
Well, I guess
like,
that
12 times and not getting it, like, because it's not like, do you get, like,
even
prize?
If you don't get the Pokemon itself, yeah, you get a ton of really useful stuff.
Okay.
You get, for starters, this massive blast of experience, and experience is really hard to come by at higher levels.
Yeah.
And they're giving you just a glut of experience.
That's really why
they're giving you these rare candies, which themselves turn into the candies for the things you need, which is fucking wonderful. If you're like, God, I never see a Mankey. I can't find a goddamn Mankey. It's like, oh, well, just, I have rare candies. Now I can convert them into Mankey candies and just evolve it and be done with it.
That's actually really great that they do that, because I kind of fizzled out in the game because I just got into that grind of hardly ever leveling up, always running into the same things over and over again, couldn't find anything new.
Yeah. It still has, like, some of those problems a little bit, but I think the game's a lot more fun. They've got a lot more interesting things to do. I mean, there's movesets. I feel like they actually keep just every little patch or whatever they add just a little more to make you actually kind of want to do the fighting mechanics of the game, which is something that's sort of been glossed over. It's always been a bug-catching game, or it's, like, been, a collector's game.
Yeah.
Not so much
a
fighting game, which I think, even if we're more into other mechanics within the mainline Pokemon series, that, you know, it's still ultimately about the fights. You should care about the combat. So
I always thought it was a little weird how they just kind of like had to do the screen tap. over and over, like, or to slide around in order to fight. I think that it might have worked out a little better if it was actually, like, turn-taking.
I almost never, you know? Well, I do it now, when they've improved some stuff with fighting in that regard, too, where really the only time I'm ever dodging is when I can see that they're about to use
their super move.
Yeah, there's a charge up, and now you don't have to hold it down anymore. There's actually a little button at the bottom that when it fully charges up, it lights up and you just tap it. Which, thank you, because it's really confusing when you're sitting there and you think you've held it down long enough, but it didn't register, so it's like, you just wasted time in the fight. Now you just tap the move you want when you're ready, and that's it.
Can you trade yet?
No trading. I got 4 Farfetch'd, so.
Oh, wow.
Ready to trade them. Farfetch'd is a Japan only.
How'd you come by those?
They did a 48-hour takedown of that rule. So now, like, because the big thing we had here is Tauros. Mm. Like, apparently nowhere else in the world could you get Tauros. And then they made those available in Japan.
Yeah, like, Europe has Mr. Mime, North America has Tauros, and Japan and Asia have...
Oh, New Zealand has, I think it's Barboach.
Okay.
I want to say Barboach or Remoraid.
Not like...
It's Flaffy? The only place you can find it. No.
Okay.
That's whales.
Oh, gotcha. It's just the one Welsh Pokemon. That's all they run into is...
Yeah. No, that's,
Burn on everyone from Wales.
Yeah, if you want it, you have to go to fucking New Zealand. Also, Ampharos would probably be from Egypt. I feel like if you're going to make Pokemon have to be from certain places, you kind of have to make it be in a nation of civil unrest.
Okay. Egypt. All right. So are we done?
You should sell timeshare for Egypt.
Yeah. Just the country. Like, 1 week out of the year, you get the
country. You're not buying a condo. You're buying an experience. And you're also not buying this condo. You're buying points, which gets you any condo.
Have you sat through one of these presentations before?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do they give you, like, some free golf clubs or something?
Oh, it's high pressure, man. They love it. You either are the type that works the job for a month and then goes home and kills yourself, or you love that kind of job. It's like, oh, look at these fucking rubes. Give me
hey,
money.
Hey, Peter, where's your boat? Oh, my God. All right.
But you're buying experience for your family. You should really do it, because they love you, and they want to know that you love them.
All right, let's take a break and then come back with something not Pokemon, because that's it. That's all we got for Pokemon this week.
That's a bummer.
But, you know, well, I mean, none of us really prepared a game.
I'll let you know when I go on the SSN.
Okay. And then usually, like, the last 45 minutes of the show is let's play a game. We don't have it this week, so we'll just shoot the shit and talk about some other stuff.
I'm just going to make up questions.
Okay.
No.
Right on the spot.
No. What is the third city in Gen 4?
Oh, fuck.
Who even knows? They didn't even name it.
It's not Vermilion.
It's Jubilife. Anyway, let's take a break. Jeremy and Wes, you saw Star Wars. You saw it tonight.
We saw it today. We're playing it on this show. We're not doing a Space World.
Yeah, we won't spin off. We'll just put it on here. I'll just make a note in the show notes that, hey, we talked about Star Wars.
I saw it too.
Oh, yeah, you've seen it.
Yeah,
right, I am not. I am a conscientious abstainer at this point.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. But Jeremy, earlier today, was like, hey, you know, if you've seen them all to this point, you're going to see it, because you just kind of, it's just part of the zeitgeist. So, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to skip right over this one.
And only see episode 9.
Well, actually, like, of the second trilogy that they relaunched, like, in the early 2000s, I still have not in its entirety sat down and watched the third film.
Same here.
Yeah. You're not missing
parts of it. I've seen the ending.
Yeah.
Good
I've seen
enough.
15-minute chunks here and there to be like, no, I just want to pretend
all
this never
all I know
happened.
Is that his mom dies, and then he suddenly starts murdering children. Like, this guy is...
Well, the first scene murders the sand people.
And their children.
That's true.
The Jawas? What did they do?
They killed his mom.
The Jawas are none of the sand.
Oh,
the sand people.
Sorry. The Jawas are
the Jawas
people.
Are fine.
Yeah, the Jawas are little people. Yeah, that's right.
Can't kill the little
so
people.
So, I have seen that one. And I'll tell you that there are 4 movies that I've left in the middle of and gotten my money back from. The 3 Star Wars prequels and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Why would you go back to see
episode 3. If you leave for during the first 2, why would you go, all right, let's take a look at...
At that point, I was probably assuming it would be free. So
I'm sorry. Here's your ticket.
Let's get an apology from the box office before you can go in.
Box office, really, really strong believers in...
No, it's like Costco.
Shot in Florida.
It's like Costco. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
That's a great reference.
I think I've got a pretty high tolerance. I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie. I don't recall ever walking out of a movie. Like, where I've been so just either offended... I mean, I've been bored, but never so bored that I wouldn't at least let a movie make its fucking
point. But you can understand why people walked out of The Shape of Water.
Yeah, because there's some uncomfortable stuff that happens that a lot of people aren't prepared for.
Yeah, suck it up. Yeah.
I did,
She's fucking a fish, man. Deal with it.
I probably would have... Spoilers, motherfucker. I probably would have stuck through Crystal Skull if Dez had not been with me, but she was just so, like, enraged by the 30-minute mark. I had to be like, maybe it'll get better. And then 10 minutes later, I was like, no, it's not getting better. Let's get out of here.
I didn't see it in theaters, but... And I don't think I finished it either, but, man, that movie was fucking garbage.
No, I didn't finish it. Ugh. I've never seen the second half of that movie.
We walked out of Source Code.
Oh, yeah?
With
Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's a train movie, right?
Yeah.
Is it on a train or it keeps rewinding?
That thing could have been worse. I mean, I saw it at home when I was bored and playing my DS anyway. So.
Yeah, that's one like you catch on like an FX or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't put money into that shit.
and you don't use your brain.
That just enforces the bad behavior. Bad Gyllenhaal.
I thought it was okay.
It was like one of our first dates and we're like, oh, let's go do something more fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah,
Star Wars.
Episode 8.
Yeah.
That happened?
That's
good. That's a film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a feature-length film. Actually, clocks in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
My God. Quite the right time on that, bad boy.
Where do you want to start
save
spoilers,
or do
we...
Want to deal with
this?
No, spoil the shit out of it. Who cares?
All right, spoilers.
All right. Be warned.
I thought that it relied a lot more on slapstick comedy... and sort of the self-referential, ironic comedy than any of the... Like, it was more comedic than any of the other Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the last one was more comedic than this one.
Episode 7.
Yeah.
But, like, the previous 6 haven't been...
Oh, no, they're not...
So...
Return of the Jedi was hilarious.
Actually, Lawrence Kasdan wrote a lot of... Well, it wasn't, like... punchlines or gags or jokes, but it was a lot of really inviting, snappy wordplay happens a lot. Like, think of all those great interactions between Han and Leia, how it's like...
This is like Aaron
they're kind
Star
of just
Wars.
Like,
that's true.
Hate fucking verbally.
Yeah.
And it's great to watch because they actually have really wonderful chemistry. It's like, think of Yoda interacting with Luke and how funny those exchanges were, even though it's...
Yoda's a great example because he shows up in episode 8.
As a ghost.
Yeah. As a ghost. And that interaction I found to be very strange. Mm-hmm. And like... Like, oh, I've missed you, Master Skywalker. Like, and it was like... This
lightning down.
This self-referential, like, it was just... I mean, those are some things that I didn't like. But
it was
the
most uncomfortable when they fucked.
Yes, absolutely. Ghost fucking.
Is this before or after they made the pot? The pot.
I have no idea what you're trying to say.
You want to take another crack at that one?
Oh,
and I'll just edit around it.
He's not gonna edit around it.
Is that before or after they made the pot?
It's like in the movie Ghost.
Oh.
With Patrick Swayze.
Gotcha.
That is an interesting part, and I think at the same time I can understand the series being a little glib about it.
Yeah.
How it's sort of like this whole place is dedicated to preserving and protecting these ancient texts. That are important to the Jedi, even though I think that this whole thing devalues what it even means to be a Jedi, or to embrace the light.
Mm-hmm.
But then to see it all get destroyed, and then you have...
There's a tree, and there's, like, sacred Jedi texts from thousands of years old,
and
then Yoda calls down lightning and burns the tree down.
Well, because they have this exchange, Yoda, who is in that sort of spirit form, is talking to him, and they're having just this real conversation about it, and they're both basically saying, like, one, this is boring. What's actually written here isn't that valuable. If you understand the Force, if the light of God, if the love of God burns within you, you don't need the text to describe to you how that feels. He's just saying, right, that like, if you feel the Force, it's in you, and it's awesome. You don't have to have a set of rules that accompany it.
That's actually a really interesting point. Like, it's almost a mysticism. Like, embrace the mysticism, get rid of the rules.
Yeah.
Like, and then you actually see that through several sort of moments. Even with, like, Rey's journey isn't about getting trained or getting... It's about that feeling of openness to the Force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still would be kind of fucked up for us to burn a Bible. So, I mean...
Oh. Yeah. I mean, context.
As Americans, we are getting there. Just give us a few more months.
We're almost there.
Well, and you have the revelations, and you don't hear the truth, you hear both sides of the story, which is great, between Luke and Kylo Ren about their showdown that happens. Mm-hmm. And both of them seem at the same time like they could be 100% real in it. You kind of get the sense that neither is truly telling the truth.
Yeah.
They talk about that in the first of this new trilogy, where it's sort of like, Kylo flips, kills all the other kids that Luke is trying to train to become new Jedi. And not Sith, they're not to embrace the dark side, but to truly be totally one-sided on, which I think is a big part that they're trying to establish, is that there must be this balance that exists within the Force. This yin and the yang. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're Sith or you're Jedi, you're good. It's all relative. There's I think, this sort of want to be objective about it, but... Yeah, you see Luke saying, I felt just the worst absolute dread out of this kid, and I was like, I have to stop this. And then he's leaning over the kid and he's like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And then Kylo he says, Kylo freaks out and brings the whole building down, kills all the kids. And then Kylo's like, no way. I wake up and then fucking Luke is standing over me about to slit my throat with a fucking laser beam. So I'm gonna fight back, and I'm gonna leave this because clearly I can't trust anybody with the Jedi with the low power of the light or with the power of good.
I'm a bit confused because the theme is there has to be this balance between the Jedi and the Sith. Only one of those side kills children. I don't think we need that. Only one of those sides.
But it's about the suppression of will. And doesn't that really snuff out existence in one, if you tell them that they can't be free and do what they want?
I think if what they want to do is kill children, then yes, you do get to tell them.
And it's not like the Sith are basically like, let's just murder all of the fucking children. It's
That's
not
what
like,
the red face do.
They just happen to, every once in a while, kill lots of children.
Every time they're on screen.
Well, it is a Tuesday.
Should we kill some kids today?
I don't know.
But that
I had a big lunch.
So that duality seems to exist, though, where it's sort of like you have one key figure, and it's Luke, who is in exile, which must be why... I don't even know the guy's name who's the Sith Lord, but he's like... He's
Snoke
Sith,
or Snoke.
Snoke. Is rotting away. Like, he's just falling apart because he's so far removed from Luke, who has exiled in himself and is withering and dying and growing old. And it's sort of like... We are totally spoiling everything. Let's face it, both of them, one of them is outright dead, the other just embraces the ether, let's say.
Mm.
And they're sort of gone from whatever the real world is within Star Wars, and now you're left with this power vacuum that seems so obviously that it needs to be filled with Rey and Kylo, who themselves seem like they should be in a fucking relationship and not even trying to kill each other, which is so strange. Yeah, because, like, when, I mean...
There's this crazy sexual tension.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, just
I didn't know if they were going to... And this, I thought they did that well, where they didn't play the, like, Luke and Leia card again. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not brother and sister. We are spoiling everything. I actually really like that interaction.
What?
They're
brother and sister?
Holy shit. I really like the interaction where he was like, you're not a part of this story. You come from nowhere. Like, you're the random element.
Isn't that great?
And that was also Anakin in the first. Like he was not a part of the Jedi. You know, he was just out on the rim.
Yeah,
I think the two of them need to get an apartment together, and we're right there. We got a fantastic sitcom.
Yeah,
I think that's just
like, we saw him shirtless.
Kylo,
the guy is all upper body. She's like, can you put a towel on or something?
That was
creepy. It wasn't.
Yeah, then they just ignored it and went on with it. I'm like, oh, fuck it.
She like comes home from work. He's sitting there on the couch at Kylo. I heard there was a bus crash full of children today. Were you here all day, Kylo?
He's like avoiding her gaze. Like, yeah,
I just needed to.
It's Tuesday. What do you want from me, woman?
Yeah. Well, and then they also have that tease, like an outright tease, in the same way that, you know. Granted, you know, Luke comes from a special bloodline, but at the same time, he was a poor, like, farmer on a desert or whatever. you know, and Rey comes from nothing, and it's like, there's that little kid they go to, sort of the planet of greed.
Yeah.
And it's like that little kid, like, looks up at the sky,
and it actually was more like purpose. Monaco.
He, like, forced the broom into his hand, and then, you know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah, it was like if all of Las Vegas was Dubai.
It was definitely, like, Monaco. I don't the city-state near Italy and
We're
going
to say Las Vegas.
Definitely Monaco! If you've seen an aerial
picture. Well, and Monaco aspires to be Las Vegas, we can all agree.
All right, so there's this kid with a broom from Space Vegas. Who established that.
Yeah. So it's basically his job to shovel shit all day long, and then he discovers that
Of like a rabbit horse.
He actually even looked like
rabbit horse or a rabbit horse.
Yeah, it's got big rabbit ears.
Oh. Get the fuck out of here. Whatever his name was.
Yeah, the little kid.
Little kid
Anakin. But he's a horse.
Yeah,
let's wrap it all back into one conversation here.
But wait, we haven't even really like general impressions of the film and where the series is going, like positive, negative.
Despite like some grievances that I had. I thought the story was good. I actually really like the direction that they're heading. And it's like in episode 7 was A New Hope revisited, A New Hope. But this one, like, there were elements of Empire, obviously, but that felt like it was.
Well, it started with the, essentially the Empire, or in this case, First Order, attacking the Rebel base and then fleeing, just like Empire.
Do they have to cut open an animal and live inside
No, but they end up on Hoth or something that looks remarkably like Hoth.
Yeah, they do get a good scene with some AT-ATs stopping down this thing.
Yep, and then
I mean, I guess Empire is a chase as well, but like it honestly is one
chase, and it picks up. You said something about this earlier while we were over the house. This is like the first Star Wars that picks up immediately after the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of like they weren't like under attack at the ending of the last one.
I think they had been discovered, but they hadn't.
The Rey and Luke interaction picked up immediately right there, and off it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
before we get to like further impressions, we need to answer the one burning question.
Yeah.
Where is Lando? We need some Billy Dee Williams.
Well, people thought Lando was going to be the big reveal that ends up being Benicio del Toro's character, who is himself a nice little Rubik's cube of a character. Where he again is very much he's the kind of like Han. He's just sort of a morally ambiguous. Will work both sides if it'll be in his favor. Straight up turncoat in what we see from the characters we're supposed to be invested in,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, very charismatic and interesting, and sort of a kind
has
of
a stutter.
Yeah, he's got this stutter. He's
just
doing this
randomly,
whole like
this guy just has a stutter for no reason.
Just drunken master kind of attitude of going through problem solving stuff, I guess. But yeah, that, mm-hmm. and I think that's the character is carved out to be Lando Calrissian.
Mm.
I feel like, but maybe Billy Dee is too busy putting away coal for his eyes to get on that. I don't know. Maybe he's a
runaway gun and crushed bus. Just.
But even when they built it up, they were talking about this guy that they were going to go find that was going to help them out. And you thought you kind of in your, you know, you were kind of hoping it was going to be Lando, and it wasn't.
That would have been cool.
I don't know if he could pull it off. By the way, Luke, so convincing. I think Mark Hamill was fucking amazing. And he wasn't even there for just like a couple of scenes. He's probably got about as much dialogue as anybody.
Yeah.
You know, he's a huge part of the whole thing and just phenomenal. At no point, because there were times when like Han and Leia were there or maybe I hate to say it, I felt that little tinge of like, ooh, this is kind of their old now. This isn't maybe not real. At no point did I, you know, get pulled out of the story.
Although I don't understand why he had to use the pole to get to the edge of the cliff to fish. Why can't he just fish on the other end of the cliff? Like, he pole jumps from one cliff to the other and is on this little tiny little ledge in order to, like, fish with the pole.
I'm sure
he just fish from the other
just,
edge.
He's just exercising.
I'm sure in the writer's room they were like, how can we make this acrobatic?
Yeah.
The guy is going to fucking fish.
Why couldn't he fish from the other side? I don't understand.
Well, I thought it was also like this big tension. Like, he's going, Ray's following him. Where's he going to go? Is he going to go to some sort of like Yoda-esque training ground or whatever? No, he's going to jump to the other side and fish. Like, he's totally...
Yeah.
I thought it worked.
Yeah.
But...
I think my biggest thing, and I, in general, I love where the story is going. They did a lot of really contrived narrative shit to draw out a 2.5 hour film that I think was totally unnecessary. And some specific moments come to mind where it's like, where they're building up all this stuff like it's going to be important, and then it's like, oh, that didn't matter. That wasn't important. Ignore that happened. You know, it's like, think about how... So you got this top flight crew of X-Wing pilots, right? And they cut to each of them, and you feel like you're going through like the soldiers from Predator, where it's like each one of these guys could carry their own film. They look like rock stars. And they find this stupid way to kill all of them, going into this battering ram, and then it's the moment where Finn is supposed to make this noble sacrifice, only to have rando newbie swoop in and not only, well, temporarily save Finn, who they themselves are about to get slaughtered by a bunch of AT-AT walkers, while the cannon then blasts through and kills what's left of the
resistance. I hope his name is Rando Newbie.
Her name. I don't know her name. No, they introduced
this... Rose or something?
Yeah, it's Rose.
That's
it. Yeah, they introduced this character. It's sort of like when Finn is about to potentially leave a doomed ship. She's sort of knocks him unconscious and says, hey, don't be a jerk.
And she's like the sister of like a...
Bomber pilot
who died in like the first little bit of a movie.
Okay. Or think about...
you're like, all right, and just shit happens.
Yeah, there is a ton of just... death and slaughter in this, even if it's not truly graphic, there's the body count is just disgusting.
It's crazy. Yeah. Everybody fucking dies.
Yeah. Or but like think about the whole attempted coup that takes place aboard the ship, where it's like we kind of just wasted a lot of time with that storyline because
the thing that
was gonna happen happened anyways, so that didn't matter at all. You know, the whole idea that they were gonna go get the code breaker in the first place, only to get duped by Benicio del Toro's character. That didn't really matter in the end either, because they still went through with this plan no matter what. Like, you saw so many best laid plans crumble, and I wonder if maybe we could have just ditched a couple of those stories and turned this thing down to maybe a nice little 2 hour.
Maybe do a little bit more depth in the one thing, just to so it's a little bit more fluent and create something.
Actually, I would have loved to see more time with Luke and Rey. Like on the. I mean, we got some, but
that's deleted scenes, and extended cuts.
I'm sure
we'll get that in the DVD.
But like, I really liked what they did with.
At one point, they played chess. Like it's really weird.
They have to play the kind of chess they have on
the Millennium space chess.
Falcon.
Or even Luke interacting more with Chewie, who was also there, who also went through all.
He essentially just gave him a head nod.
Hey Chewie, what are you doing here? That would have been. And then when he got onto the ship.
Yeah.
I would love. Even a minute of him just in the darkness walking around the Millennium Falcon. Actually would have been cool. And deeper than let's go get the codebreaker.
I got a question. At the last bit when they're trying to defend the doors, and they all get in the little ditch thing, and the one guy walks out there and you see like the red shoe prints and everything like that. That seemed weird to me. Because they're like, yeah, alright, he's taking a look. And then he like licks the ground, he's like salt or something. Like what was the fucking point of that? What did he say?
He said it was salt because it was like red salt underneath the snow. I didn't understand why.
Is it an attraction thing? I know that's supposed to help, like, get rid of snow if you put salt on it, but it ruins. Like, it's a concrete thing. Like, if you have concrete streets, you can throw salt down and it dissolves the ice, but it fucks up the streets. I don't know if they're saying that, like, the remnants of the Empire sprayed down a bunch of salt so they could get traction with their vehicles, even though it seems like a lot of the vehicles.
It seems kind of pointless. To,
I don't know.
I think it probably was
salt.
a 15 second thing to say we want a shot of an aerial view of this battle where there's a bunch of cool looking red stuff. It's probably what they. I mean,
yeah.
But it's an alien planet. We would accept that, of course. There's
just red sand. I mean, that is also acceptable. Then some dude licking the ground after this dude stepped on something. Oh, that's salt.
I hope it was ad-libbed.
Like, at first I thought the guy was bleeding or something. I was like, what the fuck is going on with this? It was just really weird to me.
I like the sword fight that happens. The death of Snoke is pretty wonderful, how that all plays out.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Although, I can't take Kylo seriously. I really can't. He's like a little brat.
I think the first film underplayed him.
Whiny brat.
Because they made him seem so weak.
Yeah,
he seems super puny.
He's very strong.
Now he's in charge of the bad guys.
Because you can force choke people. I mean...
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, with the general was going to shoot him while he was unconscious.
But he woke up, he's like, oh, I'm very fucking not.
Yeah.
I don't shoot a man when he's awake. I got stand.
Like, slaps him in the face. Like, wait.
Yeah, but that was pretty sweet. And I like that they thank God did not... And granted, the two of them are very athletic and are doing some cool sword stuff. They didn't go so ridiculously over the top where... Mm-hmm. Like in the second trilogy where everyone had their own fucking martial arts fighting style.
They could
style.
Flip backwards and do all this crazy jumps and shit. Like it's legitimate fighting like the original three where it was more choreographed and it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Where you say they're fuckers just fucking hacking at each other. They're literally just hacking at each other sometimes. And it's great because it's like, it's a real sword fight from people that are tired. You know, it's like nobody's doing somersaults and backflips.
Yeah.
With this shit.
That fight that they did when they fought the Snoke's guards, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was a good fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In his untimely death. They got some gruesome lightsaber kills.
Yeah.
You know, it's some surprisingly gruesome ones.
Cool.
So you're missing out on that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll catch the next one.
I mean, do you think of another Star Wars that was as, like, that has that much of a body count?
Well, like, everyone on the Death Star died.
Yeah.
And then,
on screen body counts.
I mean, they're blowing up, like, whole planets.
Fuck yeah.
Like, in that whole setup where it's like...
Not implied body count, but legitimate, like, you see that person.
Yeah, those people on that planet didn't matter.
There was a lot of, like, Star Trek jargon, I felt like, sometimes.
There were vacations coming out.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a cloak to binary signal. I was like, oh,
they were bombing for bugs.
Save that for Star Trek.
Everybody was out, so...
Yeah, I don't need that. Like, I think this series works best when it realizes that a simple story tells well, and you don't need a bunch of complex things. Like, and I think that really is the thing that is going to make or break it, if they can do this really good job of balancing that no longer should we perceive the Jedi as being good, nor should we think of the Sith as being dark, or that the light or the dark matter, that they are all interconnected, and you can either shut yourself off from it entirely and save yourself potentially some sort of punishment, or you can embrace it and maybe you have the balance within you to control it.
Hmm.
The way that I think that the series seems to be building like they want it to be. So, that's cool. And as long as that's the big thing and we're not talking about trade agreements in the fucking Senate, then...
I think we're cool.
Series going to be alright.
Leave it to space wizards.
Yeah.
Not space economics.
I mean, so how close are we to a crossover with the Guardians of the Galaxy?
With this series?
Yeah.
Tonally, I think they could probably fit in each other's worlds pretty well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Not
Thor. By the way, did you guys see Thor?
Yeah.
Fucking garbage, man.
You didn't like it?
Really?
Man.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it was... So, like, a lot of people die in Star Wars and people react to death, as you would imagine.
Sure.
With, you know... With emotion and sadness.
Mm.
And then in Thor, it's a cue for a punchline when someone's dad dies. You know? It's like... Man, Thor just was so lacking in humanity.
The warriors... Those four dudes, they die. I didn't care.
Well, see...
I was like, oh, no, they killed the
Asian
guy.
Well, you didn't care, but he spent fucking eternity with these people. Time was created, and then the four of them were made to be friends. And then they're gone.
He doesn't even address it. He just moves on. He's like, all right. They're dead. All right, fuck it.
They do sort of pass over a lot of the deaths that happen in that
Asgard's
movie.
Gone. Okay, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go to New York. Get a penthouse apartment.
Although that Matt Damon cameo is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this a little bit already.
We did.
That's
we
kind
did,
of thing with Ragnarok. And in the comics as well, they do spend a little bit more time with all these characters. But it's this Asgardian bloodbath. But... Yeah, they just kind of like, oh, that guy's dead now. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
They're just like eliminating all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Except I think there was one that got away.
Yeah.
The girl.
Yeah, Sith never showed up.
Yeah. She escaped with her life somehow.
No, anyway, they introduced a new girl. Really, I was in my... I have MoviePass, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
And you guys should all get it. It's actually great value. But I was in the movie line to get my tickets, having bought that, and there was posters all next to me. And I was looking at the poster of Thor, and I was like, everybody on the poster lives. Everybody else dies. And then I'm like looking at the cast, and I'm like, I don't care about any of
these people? Like who are these fucking characters? And it's like the new, the probably the centermost character is this new woman.
The Valkyrie.
They introduced the Valkyrie, and the Valkyrie's supposed to be hot shit. You know, and it's like...
And she's a drunk.
Yeah, she's a drunk that's there. She's like, she's the last survivor of these people. And like, even the reaction of the woman that takes the spear for her or whatever, like looks down at her and like, oh, you're the one I just died for. You know, it's like, I hope you're not going to be a big character. I hope this is your only movie.
I mean, I think that for me, she was kind of like the most unconvincing arc, because she does like go from being a drunk to being like this fighter. But, you know, she decides she's going to fight. She's going to help Thor. She's going to go help save Asgard. But, like, no, the plot was we're just going to help destroy Asgard the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, and who's the character that's the guy in the
Hulk?
The very beginning that's guarding the thing that ends up being a bad guy but has a redemption arc, and he's the...
Loki?
Two machine guns who goes out.
Oh, what's his name?
But the actor that plays him, like, that, he's an awesome actor. It's just so sad to see his character gone already. Because it would have been cool to get a little more time with him.
Didn't he smuggle himself under the ship?
He plays Bones McCoy. And, well, yeah, he did, but then he jumps off the ship.
Oh, to have that big, yeah. And that character is actually very accurate in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he uses the two machine guns and everything like that. Like, that, they actually... I paid attention to get that guy right.
Okay.
What I want now, having seen this, is a buddy cop-ish spinoff involving Loki and Doctor Strange. The two of them would pal around like the best of friends.
That would be good.
If the series was going to have a comedy movie that wasn't Thor, I would want it to be that.
How would you want to do it? Like, they're kind of like... solving murder crimes or anything like that? Or like, how do you...
I would think a Sherlock-ish sort of thing, given that one of them literally is Sherlock, would be kind of cool. I like the idea that maybe the both of them pissed off somebody that they really shouldn't have pissed off, like a Mixus Pidlick, like, demon trickster that's now out to get both of them at the same time. I would think that would make a fun pairing. Marvel, let me know if you're interested. I'll throw together a script.
Yeah, Marvel listens to a bunch of Nintendo podcasts.
But like video games, movies, easy to make. So easy to make. So,
a child can do it.
Yeah, a child really could.
The pee that took a poop.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
The eyebrow.
The film adaptation.
All right, well. I mean, we're just kind of like freeform at this point. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss? Talk about Star Wars and Thor and...
I don't know. Football's happening. The playoffs are about to start up. I don't know if you guys have any fucks about football. We do not have to talk if you guys don't care.
Who's in it? Let's start there.
Okay, yeah. It's going to be an interesting year, I think. The Bills, who haven't made the playoffs since the 90s, Bills. Are a wildcard team.
Oh, I hope they're Philadelphia Bills.
Yes. they're not in Toronto yet.
They're going to Toronto. Guess who they're playing?
Who?
A team that has home field advantage, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get the fuck out of
they
here.
They took their division this year.
Oh.
They did, yeah, and they haven't done that in, I think,
so like the Bills represent?
I don't know. Who knows? Both these teams are usually bad, so yeah. It'll be cool to see them fight.
Mitch. Jacksonville won the division with the Patriots
on 10-6. No, the division that consists of the Colts.
Oh, that's right. They're the South.
Didn't play Andrew Luck at all this year, I think.
Oh, weird.
The Tennessee Titans are the other wild card team that came out of the AFC.
Yeah, Mitch is a big Jacksonville Jaguar fan. He has no faith in them in the playoffs. He's like, our quarterback's gonna just cave. Like, there's no way. He's got buckle under pressure.
That's kind of like the lot of a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Like, you've been losing since the team's fucking inception. Like, of course you expect you're gonna lose.
It's like being an Orlando Magic fan.
Oh, you shut their mouth, sir.
Well, so it's like the Cleveland Browns are the worst team ever. They just went 0-16 this year.
Oh my god.
Which is the second time that's ever happened. And
time to contract. Jesus.
No, they've won two games in the past two seasons.
And both were last year.
this has involved a revolving string of quarterbacks. Blake Bortles is the quarterback for Jacksonville, is by far the losingest quarterback.
That's such a fat guy, man.
End of, like, ever. His losing numbers are staggering. Like, he'd have to basically have, I think, 2 or 3 perfect seasons to get back to 500.
Like, oh, my God.
He's been on some, and granted, it's not just him. These Jacksonville teams have been terrible, but the past 3 years have really been this wonderful rebuilding process, and it's finally paying off. So that, and why they're in the playoffs, and I don't think this is fool's gold. I think this is probably something that they can sustain. And Blake Bortles is not bad. He's average. He's an average quarterback in the NFL. I think that a lot of people want everybody to either be one of the 3 greatest quarterbacks of all time, or if you're not one of them, you're trash and your team
should be fired.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no room for just like being a decent quarterback anymore. Either have
can't
to
be Drew Bledsoe,
elite franchise player. Yeah. You know. Yeah, but like right now, it's sort of like everyone's like, well, if you're not Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, it's like, you know, probably don't have anything there.
Yeah, if I can draft someone better.
Yeah.
just get a good one in the draft. That's easy, right? It's like making video games and movies.
Well, and the teams that seem to have the best luck, or teams that have lately had some really good luck, is with guys like Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, who were picked in the second and third rounds, I think. It's these number one lottery pick quarterbacks end up having a really hard time. Granted, they are usually rough around the edges, show a lot of promise, and go to bad teams where they don't get time to learn and be polished. Whereas Jimmy Garoppolo, who is the guy that sat behind Brady for all those years, got traded to the 49ers, who were garbage. And I think he's played 4 games with them now, and he won all 4 of them. So if anything, he hurt them by playing them out of a lottery pick.
Does anyone still have Tim Tebow?
Plays minor league baseball and mostly
I think we addressed that.
A commentator for the SEC Network.
Okay.
Because I am a big Florida Gators fan, so I see him talk a lot about, and he talks a ton about football, so even if he's not going to be the best hitter of all time, or I think his professional career is pretty much done, but he knows so much about college sports that I think he's going to be fine.
Tim Tebow, call us. Get on the show.
Yeah, come on. Hop on. We'll talk faith. We'll talk shop.
All right, so you got Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Oh, Rams? So the Rams are usually a pretty garbage team. Or not garbage. They're usually rounding out their season being 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, not making the playoffs. But they moved, changed head coaches. Their head coach is like 30 years old. He's younger than me, which is crazy. Like, he has really turned their program around. I think they're like 13-3 this year, like that. So they're in the playoffs. I'm trying to think off the top of my head how the rest of the division. I think the Super Bowl is probably going to come down to the Vikings. They are fucking hot this year, and they look really good. They play amazing defense. And then probably the Pats, because just don't fuck with them. Just they're going to ruin you, it seems like.
Who else is on the NFC side? So you got Minnesota.
NFC South was taken by Saints. I want to say, and I think 3 NFC South teams made the playoffs this year.
Jeez,
fucking disgusting. It's them, Falcons, and the Panthers all had these gaudy like 11-5 records. And I guess, of course, who sits out? Tampa. We have 3 football teams, man. And they all suck. It's crazy. Except for
Jacksonville. They made it.
They're doing all right this year.
Isn't that crazy? Florida has 3 football teams. Isn't that insane?
That sucks.
I went to California.
They've got Chargers, 49ers,
Raiders.
Now they have the Rams.
Oh, that's right.
They temporarily have the Raiders. They're going to LA in a year. So they have 4 teams right now. Yeah.
It's not a competition. I mean, it is a competition, but it's not a competition.
I mean, there's Dallas and Houston. There's Buffalo. New York,
and
New York Giants. That's
who played New Jersey. Yeah. So the Jets play New York. Yeah.
Technically. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, so what the other divisions is the NFC West. Who is coming out of the NFC West this year? Oh, shit. AFC North is Pittsburgh. They have a really disgusting record. I think they're 13-3-2. But they lost to the Pats, so the Pats get home field. I don't even know who made it out of the NFC West. I think maybe it was... Oh, no, no, that is the Rams. Shit, that is the Rams. I mean, it all mixed up.
Okay.
Anyway, NFC East is... Oh, the Eagles, who have a fucking great record this year, too. And they look pretty cool. But their quarterback's injured.
I know.
So, who knows what they'll be in the playoffs.
Okay.
Football's happening. Everyone should be really interested. Yeah. Saturday is the first game, so 2 days from now.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to play four divisional wild cards. If you get the wild card spot, you play the two. Each division gets two wild cards. You have four, North, South, East, West, so that's four. The two with the best records get a bye. The two with the worst records of the ones that took divisions have to play the wild card teams. So, Pats and Vikings don't have to play, but you're still going to get a ton of fucking great games.
Mm.
I'm going to watch them. I'm going to watch a bunch of them.
Cool. You guys want to talk comic books for a second?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Let's do it. What do you want to hear about? Let's pick a random character.
Swamp Thing.
I don't know anything about Swamp Thing. Pick another one.
Oh, goddamn.
Preferably an X-Men.
Superman.
Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Dang it.
Jubilee. Superman actually recently read, the only Superman I ever read is Death of Superman, and it's four issues and a couple of Justice League issues mixed in there as well, where, you know, Doomsday pops out from the ground and starts taking out the entire Justice League and Superman has to go stop him, but it's this thing, like, it was a total publicity stunt. It was a really big event because it made the national news, like, the national nightly news when DC killed off Superman. Like, it was a story. It was one of their lead stories that happened. It was like a huge event in comic books, like this like the superhero, of superheroes just gets killed. And it happens in this really unceremonious way because there's this big monster and he, like, not figuratively speaking, punches out of the ground. He punches his way out of the ground and, like, unearths himself. Never been a character before in a DC comic or any comic. He just gets invented to murder Superman. That is his function. And never has any sort of motivation. You see him emerge from the ground, and the first thing he does is, like, a bird lands on his finger, because birds are friendly like that, and then he just crushes it. Mm-hmm. So right off, he's like, okay, this guy's just a fucking asshole. And he just, like, goes on this rampage. And
there's a panel after it where he opened his hand in horror and was like, oh no, I'll put you back together.
Put all the blood back in. So the Superman's, like, giving this interview on TV. Oh, this guy's causing, like, a rampage. The Justice League goes after him. He, like, with his supersonic hearing, realizes the Justice League is having problems. And the Justice League doesn't really have anyone recognizable. Like, Batman's not there. Wonder Woman's not there. Aquaman's not there. The Flash is not there. It's... In a lot of this,
Booster Gold.
It is Booster Gold.
Oh my god!
And Booster Gold is this hilarious character because Booster Gold is just a guy. He's not wealthy like Bruce Wayne. He's just a dude. His thing is that he's from the future, and he decided, I'm living in the future. He's like a sports, it's like an athlete or something in the future. But he's like, I want to be famous. I want to be a superhero. So he takes his technology from the future and travels back in time where he just, like, makes himself this really awesome guy just because of the tech that he has. So he's kind of cheating a little bit.
Does he warp the future by doing so?
I don't know, and he clearly doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, a Blue Beetle is this other character. I don't know anything about Blue Beetle other than, like, him and Booster Gold are, like, best friends or something. They touch
each other. Do they die?
No.
But Superman dies?
Superman dies.
That's bullshit.
The rest of Justice League makes it. Green Lantern is on the Justice League at that point, but it's not the Green Lantern, like the Hal Jordan Green Lantern. It's this other guy who's like this gingery motherfucker that nobody likes. He's really obnoxious.
Todd.
Yeah, fucking Todd or something. And then there's this, like, alien warrior woman, and her entire function when she came to Earth was like, I am here to father a child, or mother a child, and Superman is the father. So the entire time, like, her main focus when she's first introduced to these comics is like, I am here to get into Superman's trousers. And
well, no, it doesn't have to be that way, though. I'm sure he could artificially inseminate her.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And to the point where Lois isn't like, hey, hubby, you're out of line here.
But anyway, so they go up against Doomsday, they get their butts kicked. Doomsday is just punching his way around this rural area, and he's making his way toward Metropolis, and he gets to, like, this, like, suburban area. And there's this really obnoxious kid named Mitch. Brand new character. totally invented for this. And he is...
Are you telling me Mitch isn't a big character?
He becomes a character. What? Like, he becomes a recurring character in DC Comics. This is a fucking little shit named Mitch.
Right? Because he's the kid who stood down Doomsday or something.
And this little motherfucker... but before Doomsday, like, gets to his house, he's, like, in his house, and he's, like, in a broken home. Like, his dad left, and his mom's trying to make it. Like, he's this teenage kid. He's got, like, this little sister. His mom's trying to raise these kids on his own. And he's a total shit to his mom. Because she's like, can I make you dinner? And he's like, you can eat shit. And it's just like, this total garbage. He's like, even more obnoxious than this Green Lantern Todd guy. Right? He's the absolute worst. Doomsday comes in, busts the shit out of his house. The Justice League shows up again to try to fight Doomsday. They get wrecked. And they're like, oh, we need Superman. And Mitch is there like, fuck Superman. I hate that guy. He's so obnoxious. Nobody likes Superman. His house is burning down. And Superman shows up trying to beat up Doomsday. Doomsday runs off. Superman goes after him. But like Mitch and his family are caught in the burning house. He's like, oh my God, Superman, come help us. And Superman's like, oh my God, this fucking kid. I gotta go get Doomsday. And fucking Mitch, fine. So he turns around and pulls Mitch out of his burning house. Saves the fucking family.
What would be great is if when the family was there and they were all safe, he just like picks up Mitch and fastballs him in the sun.
Mitch deserves it.
Fuck you, Mitch.
So... Doomsday is heading toward Metropolis, and Superman's like, I gotta keep him from getting to Metropolis because there's a ton of people there and they're all gonna die. So he goes and he manages to like fling Doomsday away.
I just got a condo and I haven't paid it off. Yeah. And all this other guy's shit.
He flings him away, but you know, eventually Doomsday just heads back to Metropolis and gets to Metropolis, and it all culminates.
That was Metrocity.
No. it all culminates with Doomsday and Superman just punching the shit out of each other. Just a couple of panels of just some trading blows. And then Doomsday finally collapses, and so does Superman, and Lois comes there and is, like, cradling his body, and he's dead.
That's the iconic thing. That's what I remember, is, like...
With, like, the cape there, like a flag, yeah.
Yeah, recent widow, Lois Lane, crying over the corpse.
Who's a bloody pulp.
Yeah, with his cape, like... Just the entire...
Did he beat Doomsday, though? Is, like, Doomsday
He did beat Doomsday. Like, they start getting into...
They just killed each other right there.
Yeah. They punched each other to death. And that's how Superman dies.
Is it because the same way that, like, on Krypton, he's not really anything special, but on Earth, because of our sun, he's made more powerful, that the Earth's exposure to the sun is what birthed in its wombs Doomsday?
I don't think they ever address it.
Because I think that's probably where it came from.
Okay.
Just saying.
Maybe.
Just saying is all.
That was bad. Galaxy.
Call me DC. Call me DC. You want me to write the book? I'll let you know.
It was a total marketing. A total marketing maneuver. Like, it was just
but then,
a stunt.
Then, didn't they spin off like four new... Because I know there was a Super Nintendo game about it. Didn't they spin off like four new versions of Superman that suddenly show up?
Yeah, you get a couple of different heroes trying to fill the void there. And I haven't read anything past this, but you get like... the cyborg Superman, you get
Man of Steel,
the Superboy, and then Steel.
Yeah,
based on the Shaquille O'Neal character.
God,
because the movie absolutely came first.
And Shazam, also based. on
the I'd watch the Shazam. I'd watch the Shazam too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Only if it had Shaquille O'Neal.
Of course.
I think they're working on a what was that? Fuck, what was it called? The Looney Tunes basketball.
Space Jam.
Oh,
Space Jam 2?
Yeah, they're working on... I think LeBron is going to be, like, the lead NBA guy.
Oh, my God.
In the band with Space Kyrie Jam Irving.
Yeah. Oh. You know, that was just... My heart's having palpitations. I would love something like that.
I said Jeremy, Jubilee. You said Jubilee. Okay, so Jubilee gets introduced.
So she was at the mall.
Yeah, she was at the mall, and she's like
buying different kinds of weird sunglasses.
No. She's putting on fireworks display at the mall, and she starts.
She was literally. I remember you told me this. She was literally at the mall.
Oh yeah, she lives at the mall.
Yeah.
But like the mall security, that kind of have a grudge with her. They're like, oh, she's always over there.
This sounds
doing
like a sitcom right here.
Yeah.
Just every day, the mall security trying to get that Jubilee, and she just
there's a fucking chase sequence, which is something totally out of fucking Mighty Ducks of the fast running sequence. Except there's like these really contrived bits of dialogue.
It's like the bongo noise.
There's this really contrived bit of dialogue where Jubilee's like, it's a good thing I was an expert gymnast when I was still in school. I was like doing flips over shit. Like, oh my God, you're the fucking worst. But then like mall security, like it's just fed up with having to chase her around. So they call in
Sentinels. No. No, the call. This was shortly after X Factor was outed as mutants rather than mutant hunters. So there's another team. I think they're called M Squad, who is trying to fill that void, and they just show up in this one issue. And basically, they show up like wearing these fucking Ghostbuster jumpsuits and like packs, and like, yeah, we're mutant hunters. And like the whole time, like they're like doing the shtick with each other, like, well, we don't really know what we're doing, and it's just all really dumb. But like they chase her around and they're running around this mall, and of course, who was at the mall? Fucking Storm and Rogue and Psylocke and Dazzler, just four chicks you just do not want to fuck with. They're there just hanging out doing their thing.
This one's Dazzler again.
Dazzler is
just like the blonde. Pop singer?
Yeah, she converts sound into light and can use it. She can solidify. Basically, shoot lasers out of her hands if she fucking feels like it.
Oh, yeah, because that's... Yeah, let's just go ahead and make another woman that can shoot fireworks out of her hands. We're double dipping there.
Dazzler was first. But they just totally wipe the floor with these M-Squad motherfuckers. And then they teleport back to, like, Gate. They're in the outback at the time. They're in Australia, so Gateway is there with them. He opens up a portal so they can get back, because this mall is in, like, fucking, I don't know, Chicago or something. Wherever the fuck Jubilee is from. And, like, the portal is still open, and she's like, oh, should I follow him? Because they save her, but they don't know, like, they lose track of her. Like, they... Like, hey, where did that girl go? We should check in, see if she's okay. And like, oh, the portal's open. I guess we should go. Should we really check on her? Like, fucker, it's Jubilee. We don't give a shit. So
we may need somebody for a scapegoat. All right, we'll get her.
They leave. And she's like, should I follow them? Like, should I go with them? And so she stalks them. She goes, she follows them through the portal, but doesn't reveal herself. All right. So for several issues, she is living in the same ghost town ex-Reaver hideout that the X-Men are living in. That's like their base of operations. And she's like fucking living in basements and shit. And they don't realize that she's there. And there are like little things that she'll do. She'll like, when they're gone, she'll answer the phone and like leave them notes like, Havoc, someone named Lorna called for you. And like doesn't leave her name. So like, who the fuck is doing this? And Psylocke, who is a very powerful telepath, keeps looking for her. Like, using her telepathic powers, like, no, I can't find anybody. And that has led some people to suspect that Jubilee, part of Jubilee's powers, are she has some sort of telepathic cloaking. I think that Jubilee is so insignificant that even when a telepath is looking for her, they're just like, I'm looking, Jubilee, looking, never, no, she's not here. I don't know, but she's gone.
Oh, man.
I
can
see that. But then she eventually reveals herself to the X-Men. She's with the X-Men for a little bit. But then when, after Phalanx Covenant in the early to mid-90s happens, she leaves the X-Men and goes over to Generation X and is completely useless there as well.
Watch one day, like, they come out with an issue and Jubilee becomes, like, a badass. Like, her fireworks become, like, fucking nukes and...
She'd have to be repowered first. She's depowered.
Just, you know...
So why do you think...
that's right. She's powerless now.
Yeah.
So why...
Oh, no, she lost the fireworks.
And she can be discovered by a telepath.
Why does Marvel keep her around? And why did they want her to be a thing? If it seems like the hardcore fans... I'm assuming you're not alone in trashing her.
No.
Why? Like, what's the point?
So when she was conceived, when she was incepted into the comics, I think that it was as a sort of replacement for Kitty Pryde, who was this really naive go-getter in the late 70s and early 80s for the X-Men teams. Kitty Pryde left the X titles and went over to Excalibur in 1988 after the events of Mutant Massacre. She was unable to control her powers, so she goes off to Muir Island to try to gain control of them again. Mm-hmm. But while she's there... Fall of Mutants happens, she thinks all the X-Men are dead. She's like, oh shit, all my friends are dead. So she forms her own team with Nightcrawler and Rachel Summers and Captain Britain and their Excalibur. So they I think they wanted to sort of duplicate what they did with Kitty Pryde, of having like this younger X-Men to kind of give younger readers someone to latch onto. But then, of course, it was the late 80s, early 90s. So like, okay, well, if we're going to have her, she's going to have an attitude. I'm like, oh fuck, no, she's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
She's obnoxious and
she's got a trench coat and some giant shades that says attitude.
But yeah, that's Jubilee.
Hmm.
Hope Summers.
Yeah.
One more. So Hope Who's Summers.
I feel like you wanted to talk about Hope Summers from the beginning.
I'm done. I've trashed Superman. I've trashed Jubilee. Let's talk about somebody good. Hope Summers. So House of M happens in 2004. It's the event where Scarlet Witch basically depowers tons of mutants. There's only 190 of them left. And for years, there are no more mutants being born. There's like a sort of mutant sterility going on. So one is born, and Cerebro detects it, and the X-Men, led by Scott Summers and Emma Frost, are like, shit, there's a mutant. Let's go get her. So they
fly. Do you remember how to do this?
But it's unusual because it's
they should land a ship on her.
Scott, that's not how we do this.
But it's unusual because it's an infant, so it's like an extra weird situation. Because usually the powers aren't manifest until puberty. Like,
adolescence brings it on.
Yeah. So they get to the town, and the town is just totally razed. It's like burned to the ground. Things are still on fire. There's no survivors. And they're seeing bodies around, bodies of the Purifiers, which are a human-led mutant hunting organization led by William Stryker. And there's bodies of, like, marauders, henchmen of Mr. Sinister, lying around, too. Like, shit, all these people got here before us. Where's the kid? They're looking for the kid. They can't find the kid. So they are going around, like, trying to find Sinister, trying to find the Purifiers, see who's Gotham. Turns out nobody's Gotham. Cable's got the kid. Hmm. And there's a little bit of back and forth where, like, Mystique gets the kid and uses, then the kid is Hope Summers. She takes on the name Summers because Cable becomes her adopted father. And she helps the infant. Mystique uses her to help cure Rogue. Rogue's powers are out of control at that point. But eventually she ends up back in Cable's hands. And Cable's like, I'm going to take this kid to the future because this kid is the key to mutant survival. I'm going to take her to the future where I can raise her and make sure that she's safe. And there's this big showdown where Scott Summers is like, well, no, she was born here. This is her home. You need to, like, leave her with the X-Men. The X-Men are much better equipped to give her a home and raise her than you are, man from the future. And Cable's like, no, I'm not letting you take this kid. I'm taking her, and I don't care what you think you can do about it.
Shut up, Dad. I want to do what I want.
Right. Like, shut up, Dad. I'm taking the girl. And Scott's like, dude, I will fucking concussive blast you in the face. And it gets really heated until eventually Professor X, who's finally doing something useful, jumps in and is like, dude, Scott, don't shoot your son.
Doesn't literally jump.
He does have to shoot his legs at that point.
Oh, really?
But it seems to do that.
So he's done that the whole time in his mind.
He goes back and forth whether or not he can use his legs. But Scott is just like, okay. And he doesn't shoot Cable. And so Cable takes Hope into the future where he raises her. And that storyline was called Messiah Complex. There's another storyline, Messiah War, where Cable is raising Hope in the future, and Wolverine and the rest of X-Force gets transported to the future and helps him fight off Bishop and Strife, who is the clone of Cable, who Bishop is working with. Because Bishop is a total asshole in these storylines, because Bishop wants to kill Hope. Because Bishop thinks that killing Hope will prevent his dystopian future from ever occurring. But Cable's all like, no, we need her, because that's how the only way we're going to survive. So they have to fight Bishop off for a while. Bishop lives through it, though. He's okay. But then they eventually, like, Hope is his race. She's an adolescent now. They go back into the present day, where that storyline is called Second Coming. And I won't go through all the particulars of that storyline, but basically this is where Hope Summers, you finally, like, see, like, the fruition of her character, where she's basically like this younger female Cable, where she's like this total badass, like, kicking everybody's butt.
She has the same disease?
She doesn't have the techno-organic virus.
Oh, okay.
But her powers, she basically takes on the powers of other people who are in close proximity to her. So she's like this really powerful mutant and total badass, goes and, like, takes out entire, like, Reaver colonies by herself and that kind of shit. So but Cable dies. Like, this is, like, the storyline where Cable is killed off.
Ooh, how does he die?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Does the disease take him?
Not only does he get hit by a car? Take him. No, it wasn't a car accident. It wasn't like that. But okay. I don't remember. I'm gonna
his
have to.
His parachute didn't open.
He got shot in the alley leading the opera.
That's it. But anyway, so it's like her father figure, like the guy who raised her, is dead. The thing is, and Hope ends up staying in the present, living with the X-Men. There's a whole thing where she then is able to help find all these other new mutants who are being born, because now mutants are starting to emerge again in the population. And so her father figure is dead, but the thing is, Cable is a time traveler, and a younger version of himself shows up again.
Oh, God damn it.
And he might know of her.
Jesus.
But that version of him is not the one who raised her. That version of him is not the one that that protected her and taught her all these things. So
I can just imagine Scott Summers, like a portal opens up, a Cable comes through, he just blasts the
just every and time he's fucking like,
oh,
show
thank
up.
God, and another portal opens, and he's like, fuck this.
But the whole time, like, her father figure, the dude that raised her, like, shows up, and she knows how he dies. Uh-huh. Like, everyone knows how he dies. And they never address it.
Yeah, they're like,
this
not
is,
gonna tell you.
No, this is, it's... She actually is. The Cable's got a solo series going on right now, and they're bringing Hope into the Cable series. So maybe they'll address it. But yeah, like,
I mean,
future version of Cable is dead.
They've done so many fucked up things with the timeline already. You think they're not like afraid of fucking up with the timeline.
No,
it's not like this is Back to the Future where you just like you can't tell anybody about the future, like, Marty. You can't do it.
Like Scott Summers holds up a picture, makes sure that they're all still in it.
Like it's not like that. I mean, go ahead, tell the dudes. Try to save his fucking life.
He's like looking at the picture. Oh my God, someone's disappearing. Oh, it's just Havoc. Never
mind. It's the X-Men. Do whatever the fuck you want, and damned the consequences. Yeah. I mean, it's just
like, even Hank McCoy, the most cautious of them, like brings the five original X-Men into the present. It was like consequences be damned.
It's like. Tell the dude.
Hey guys, I'm drunk.
I want to see
that's all I got.
But yeah, she's a really great character.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to bring the show to a close. Unless you guys get something like basketball. We're talking about basketball.
We could. There's two amazing games last night. But, you know, hey, there's going to be a lot of amazing games.
Show some restraint.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up, this was technically the Pokemon show. Yeah, so next up is the mini show.
So it's going to be more of this.
Where we can talk about whatever the fuck we feel like. I do have some
what
games.
What games am I talking about?
I've got some games to talk about. Like, I got...
been playing StarCraft.
Oh, good.
The nice. Original.
Yeah. I played that one recently, too.
You probably won't be here for the next show.
No, that's okay.
Unless we do it early.
Mm.
But the... I got a couple of Switch games. It'll be fun. Blossom Tale. We're playing Blossom Tale.
That was a lot of fun. I like Blossom Tale.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the list for when I get my Switch.
Good. Like, next week, right? Still, like, tomorrow?
Tomorrow. But it's getting to that point where I'm just like, fuck it, just buy the thing.
Yeah. Everyone needs a Switch.
It's getting to that point.
Then after that will be the Nintendo 64.
Very good.
And then the official show. And then we'll do this all over again.
Alright, great. And hopefully we have something better planned for the next Poké show.
Yeah, we'll do a game or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Till next time, everybody.
So it all.
Bye. Later.